Back in 1969, ballet wasn't seen as a dance form normally associated with African Americans, but against the backdrop of the continuing fight for civil rights, one man was inspired to change that view. Fast forward 40 years, the Dance Theater of Harlem has seen thousands of Black and Latino students pass through its doors, and it continues to push the boundaries of this classic dance form. Joining me now is Dance Theater of Harlem's creator, Arthur Mitchell, and Virginia Johnson, a former prima ballerina with the DTH. Welcome to both of you to News and Notes.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine. Hello, thank
nice
you, and happy
here.
Anniversary. As I mentioned, you started along with another person, the Dance Theater of Harlem, 40 years ago. Talk about what inspired you back then.
Myself personally or Virginia?
Well, for you.
Well, the thing is, at that time, the fallacy was that Black people couldn't do classical ballet. And I said, well, who said that? No one could tell me who actually said it, but that was in the field. And Jackie Robinson was breaking into baseball, so I said, you know what? I'll break into classical ballet. And I had gone to the High School of Performing Arts here in New York City, and I won a scholarship to the School of American Ballet, which is the official school for New York City Ballet. And I studied there. And when I was around 21, that's when they decided to take me into the company. And I danced there for 15 years. And at that time, when I went to the school, there are only two people of color taking classes there. One was Louis Johnson, the other one was Cheetah Rivera and myself. We were the only minorities in the entire school. But when I graduated and I got into New York City Ballet, there just wasn't a African-American or Negro, whichever word you want to use from that time, in any of the major companies in America and around the world. So I just felt that I would do it. And I got accepted into New York City Ballet, and Mr. Balanchine and Lincoln Curzon became my mentors in a sense.
You know, it was odd, as I remember, in the sense that Black people have long been identified with dancing, and yet this type of dancing was considered foreign to us. And that's what I meant when I said odd, Virginia. How difficult was it in the ballet world changing the perception that people of color either aren't interested in or perhaps were not good at this type of dancing?
Well, it's an ongoing mission. I was in the company back in 1969, and it was a point of time when it wasn't just that white people were saying that they don't have the bodies and they don't have the temperament for doing classical ballet. Black people were also saying, well, that's not our art form. That's a European art form. Why are you even involved in it? But, you know, the point is that you set yourself to do something that you want to do, and you put yourself through the training and the focus to pursue something that you believe in and you dream of, and you should have a place to do it. And that's what Arthur Mitchell created for us with the Dance Theater of Harlem.
Well, you know, Arthur, I was going to ask you about that because it seems to me, as a person who has watched and enjoyed the Dance Theater of Harlem over the years, that one of the things that you did and continue to do was to expand the movement of ballet and to incorporate perhaps some of the kinds of, I hesitate to use the word steps, but I can't think of anything better.
It's a dynamic that's very different from what most people perceive as classical ballet. And what I tell my dance artists, I said, don't be classical because that's an affectation, but be classic and then you're unique. And the thing, there's an energy. And even Mr. Balanchine, when he came to America, he said, you know, I choreograph for the American kinetic energy. There's a speed and a rhythm here that no other country has. But then added to what to that, what we have as African Americans takes the dance to another level. And even though it's a European art form, the technique of it is wonderful. Now, if you take that technique and add your own things to it, it gets another dimension. And I always say the elegance is inherent to the man, whether he or she is a courtier out of Louis XIV's court or a Watusi warrior. That's inherent to the human being. But then you take the technique and put that together, it gives it another look.
Now, in today's world, Virginia, young people are heavily involved in hip hop and the beats associated with that. Is there a way, and have you been able to, and were you interested in including or expanding the ballet to include those kinds of movements?
Absolutely. Ballet is a language. Hip-hop is a language. There are no walls between them. I think that what we're trying to do as artists is communicate. And so you use the tools around you to make that happen. I don't think there's any opposition between ballet and hip-hop. And I think that there are certainly classes are taught in the schools. Dancers no longer have to say, oh, I only do this kind of dancers. Dancers today are challenged to do every kind of dancing. And that's great for the art form, and that's great for our public, too.
That's another thing that she mentioned, Arthur, that I'd like to get you to talk about. When you look at ballet, you look at the physique or the physicality of the dancers, and they're strong and they're graceful. Mm-hmm. And if I am overweight, let's say, or if I'm a person who's not necessarily in good condition, I might be intimidated by the thought of trying to participate in something like that.
Well, the arts, and particularly dance, has become so popular in the world, and particularly in America. Everyone now, if you turn on your television, there's a dance show just about every evening now. And but the thing is, we're becoming much more physically aware of taking care of ourselves today. And so everyone's going to the gym, or they're taking class, or they've got hip-hop lessons, they've got Latin moves now to lose weight. So it's becoming part of our perception that dance is just not an art form that's stuck up in a loft somewhere that you cannot relate to. And I think you look at the growth of social dancing in all the public schools and all the kids that are participating. It's amazing when you see something like Pierre Dulain has done. 3,000-4,000 kids in just New York City are studying social dancing. But that gives them a sense of awareness, a sense of manner, a sense of grace and a politeness to each other. And I think that what's happening with the hip-hop and people like that, I said to one of them, I said, you know, if you get in a hit show and you have to do 8 performances a week for 52 weeks a year, you better have some technique. You're doing what you want to do because you think it's wonderful, but having to reproduce that exactly, you have to get the technique. And that's why the classical ballet is your strongest technical base. Very few people realize that Catherine Dunham, who had an ethnic company, they had a compulsory ballet class every day.
Really?
It's not that you want to be a ballet dancer like a Russian or English person or Danish. It's taking that technique so that you can reproduce whatever you want to do anytime, have the clarity and the line and the perfection.
Let me ask you this last question. I appreciate both of you coming on. I'm very happy to talk with you. How would you say, really briefly, that when the Dance Theater of Harlem is mentioned now, how is the reaction different than it was when you were first getting going back in the early 1970s?
Well, one of the things that we always prided ourselves with is our education and community outreach program. And the fact that we were based and still are in Harlem, when I first started, people kept saying, ballet, Harlem. No, they didn't see the connection. Now, young people come from all over the world because the magic word is Harlem. When we tour the world, they want to come to America, they want to come to New York, and they all want to come to Harlem. And so that is the carrot, shall we say. At the school always has flourished. It was the company that had to go out and be ambassadors to the world, showing, yes, we can, and we come from Harlem.
Absolutely.
That's what blew people's mind.
And you have done that very well. Congratulations once again, and thank you both, Virginia and Arthur, for coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
That was Dance Theater of Harlem's creator, Arthur Mitchell, and Virginia Johnson, a founding member and former Dance Theater of Harlem prima ballerina. They joined me from our NPR studios in New York.